Okay, so we're going to be continuing our sort of occasional series of all-age services that we have one in every half term. This year we're looking at the Bible and thinking, what's the Bible about? Who's speaking? What's God saying to us in the Bible? How do we read it well? So we're going to continue that today. And our Bible reading for today is from Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 44. So do open up your Bibles and follow on with me as I read for us. So Jesus has died on the cross, and then amazingly he's come back to life and people have seen him. And then he appears to a whole lot more people in a really amazing way. So let's read from verse 13. Now that same day, two of them, that's disciples, were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talk and discuss these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what's more, it's the third day since all of this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they'd seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But they didn't see Jesus." He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening, the day's almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Why not our hearts burning within us when he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It's true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two of them told what happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your mind? Look at me. Look at my hands and my feet. It's I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost doesn't have flesh and bones as you see I have." When he'd said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." This is the word of the Lord. Wonderful. Well, keep a finger in that Bible passage. We're going to come back to it in just a second. But to begin with, I wonder, does anyone like holidays? I know most of us are on half-term holidays. Put your hands up if you like a good holiday. Maybe you're going on holiday, or yeah, Nick is very keen on holiday, get your two arms and away. Fantastic. And you know what? I reckon a holiday sort of comes in three parts, okay? Because you have the getting ready stage of the holiday. You know, you have to work out where you're going, work out how you're getting there, and then you have to pack. So I thought I'd better pack for my holidays. I brought my suitcase with me, and then I thought, right, I'll need my towel. Can't go on holiday without a towel. I thought, well, I'm going somewhere sunny, I'll take sun cream, or book to read on the journey. What else have I got? Pair of socks, always forget a pair of What else have I got? Oh, phone charger. So easy to forget that, and you don't have a charge. And if you're going anywhere in England on holiday, definitely pack your coat. So you've got the getting ready for the holiday stage. That's stage one of a holiday. Then you've got stage two, the actual holiday itself, all the fun things, all the adventures, all the food. Brilliant. And then you've got the end of the holiday, when you come back and you get to share all the photos and all the memories and all the things that you've enjoyed and learned over your holiday. Here's a couple of Greenman family holiday snaps from the north of Scotland, where we definitely need the coat more than the sun cream, and a day down at the cricket as well. And you know what? Something is similar about our three parts of a holiday as with the Bible. You see, the Bible is all about Jesus. But we sort of see that in three different ways as we go through the Bible. You know, the first big chunk of the Bible, our Old Testaments, are a bit like us packing, ready for our holiday, getting ready for Jesus. The next bit of the Bible, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, and Acts 2, they tell us about the birth and the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus and his ongoing work. And that's like the holiday itself, you know, the main event. And then at the end of the Bible, we have the letters. And they explain to us what happened in Jesus' life. And they teach us and remind us about how it is that he wants us to keep living for him. You know, it's a bit like looking through those holiday snaps and remembering everything that's happened and coming back and wanting to learn even more. Maybe you learned a language as you went away and wanted to learn even more about that. So Jesus is the one who the whole Bible is in some way, shape or form about. We saw back in October that the Bible is God speaking to us. So the Bible is God speaking to us all about Jesus, preparing us for him, describing to us his life and what he did, and describing to us how it is that that should affect our lives. Now, it's fairly easy to see that the New Testament is about Jesus. The name Jesus appears over 1,300 times in the New Testament. Plus, there's lots of other names of him too. So you kind of go, okay, Peter, I get that the New Testament is about Jesus. But Jesus, the name Jesus, doesn't appear anywhere in the whole first half of the Bible. How is that about Jesus? Well, I don't know if you noticed when I was reading our Bible passage today, but Jesus twice talked about the whole Old Testament and how the whole Old Testament was about him. So if you've got your Bibles, flip them back open to verse 27. And verse 27 says this, "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus explained to them," that's the disciples, "what was said in all the scriptures," so that's the Old Testament, "concerning himself." So he said that once. And then a bit later on that same day, verse 44, flick over the page to verse 44. "Jesus said to them, 'This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms.'" So twice in one day, Jesus said that the whole Old Testament, the whole first half of our Bibles, is about him. And he talks about three sections of the Old Testament: the law, the prophets, and the Psalms. And that covers all of the books, all 37 of the Old Testament books fall into those three categories. Now I'm going to get you guys to do some work this afternoon. I know it's 4:20 on a Sunday afternoon, but hopefully, in your Bibles, when you came in, you should have a little piece of paper. And that's got a Bible verse from either the law, the prophets, or the Psalms. And I want you to have a little look, maybe in your families, or adults on your own, or in pairs. Have a look, have a read of the passage, and there are a couple of questions at the bottom to have a think about, have a chat about. And then we're going to see how the law, the prophets, and the Psalms all point us to Jesus. So 3-4 minutes on your own, in your families, however you want to do it with the people around you, have a go, and then we'll come back to I'll draw us all together in just a couple of minutes. So go. Okay then, I think the chattering seems to have died down. I hope that was helpful for us all. We're going to have a look at little things. I've got our law and our prophets and our Psalms up here. So if you had a passage from the law, You were having a look at the reading of the instructions of the Passover. So how God's people had to kill a perfect sheep and then paint it, the blood of that animal on its doors, just as they were about to leave Egypt. And you see, the law points us to Jesus. The law points us to Jesus because it shows how big a problem sin is. The only way for sin to be dealt with was for an animal to be sacrificed. Something, or for us, if we're trusting in Jesus, someone had to do in order to deal with that great big problem of sin. So say people, in the Old Testament, that was a sheep that had to die. But in the New Testament, we see that it's Jesus who has to die to be there to deal with that great big problem of our sin. You know what, John the Baptist even calls him the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So the law in the Bible was pointing us, getting us ready for Jesus. Now, if you were reading the part from the prophet, you had the wonderful reading that we often hear at Christmas time from the prophet Isaiah. And he was promising that someone would come who'd be a mighty God, a father who lives forever, a prince of peace, a perfect king. Now, the prophet points us to Jesus too. This was a promise written nearly 800 years before the Christmas story happened. But there you go, who knew? The Psalms also promised Jesus. We're going to come to that one in just a second. But the prophet, that promise was written 800 years before Jesus came on the scene. And it told us what Jesus was going to be like. When Jesus said that the prophet spoke to him, all those wonderful promises were getting us ready for him. Now, there's no great surprise that the Psalms also promised to Jesus. For those of you who are looking at that psalm, we had King David. Things were very, very hard and sad for him when he wrote this psalm. And he was left feeling completely abandoned, completely alone. And he cried out to God. And those words were about Jesus too. Because they're the exact same words that Jesus said when he was hanging on a cross, dying. Why have you deserted me, God? And all the horrible descriptions that were there of people piercing his hands and his feet and stabbing him in the side. David said those words 1,000 years before Jesus. And David was having a tough time, but it was all pointing us forward, getting ready for Jesus. Now those are just a couple of examples. There are literally hundreds more of how the Old Testament points us forward to Jesus. And you see, if we trust in Jesus when he says the whole Bible is about him, it changes how it is that we read the whole Bible. It's like we put Jesus glasses on when we read the Bible. Can I read this through my goggles? You know, reading the Bible with our Jesus glasses on is the way that God wants us to read the Bible. It's the way that he tells us it's best. I'm going to take those off so I can actually see my notes. It shows us how much Jesus loves us. It shows us how to live Jesus' way. It shows us how Jesus has done everything that we need. It teaches us everything we need about him. Now, reading the Bible with our Jesus glasses on is not like a game of Where's Wally? It's not that we try and find our way through the Bible and think, oh, this looks a bit like Jesus. Ah, job done. Or this is a promise that I think Jesus is a bit like. Job done. There's more than that. Now, can anyone find Wally on that picture? I'll give you 20 seconds. Hands up if you think you can find Wally. It's a bit high. I've got the... Oh, yeah. Wally. Right at the bottom. Yeah. Well done. That is super eyesight from right at the back to catch Wally there. Exactly. But as I say, when we're reading the Bible, it's not so much we play Where's Wally or Where's Jesus. We don't just stop at that. Now, the point of seeing that the whole Bible is about Jesus is that we realise more and more how amazing Jesus is, how massive his love for us is. And then it helps us to love him more for rescuing us from our big problem of sin and to try and help us live life more and more his way. You see, if we don't read the Bible with our Jesus glasses on, we'll end up misunderstanding the Bible. We might think that we still need to kill animals to deal with our biggest problem of sin, rather than realising that that was just pointing us to Jesus, getting us ready for him who came to die and beat sin. We might still be waiting for that promised king that Isaiah spoke about, rather than celebrating the fact that we know that that king has already come. Maybe we think if we just kept all the rules, we'd be good enough to be in God's forever family, rather than realising that Jesus kept all the rules perfectly for us, and our job is to trust in him. Or maybe we think the Bible is just some kind of interesting historical book, like something we find in a museum, rather than realising that it all points us to Jesus, who is alive and reigning as King today. You see, reading the Bible is not something that we do just to fill our heads. It's not that we know lots and lots of facts. That's not the reason why we read the Bible. It's not like we know there are 613 Old Testament laws. I know that Solomon's temple used 34 tons of gold. I know that Judah was exiled in 597 BC. I know that Paul went on 3 missionary journeys telling everyone about Jesus. The point is not that we just fill our heads with facts about Jesus. The whole point, as we read the Bible with our Jesus glasses on and realise that it points us to him, it's to fill our hearts and to fill our love for him. So rather than filling our heads, the whole point is we fill our hearts with Jesus. We realise that I'm a selfish sinner and that by myself I can do nothing. I've done lots of things against God and I can't do anything to save myself. I realise that Jesus has the biggest love ever for me.